This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
May her powerful intercession bring you a happy and prosperous new year.
Karma Yoga really is about always striving in everything that you do every day to be of service to others. And it has now brought me to this place here to do it as a member of Congress.
Holy Spirit, will you come down and hover over this dome and over the city and over our lives. Come and descend on us with the cloud of the very presence and glory of God.
Louis Giglio has made a concerted effort to include and feature on the stage at Passion 2013 some people who are theologically dubious at best.
Florida truck drivers love Issues Etc.
Well, it's been a rather short week because we came back live yesterday on Issues Etc. That would be Thursday. And on Friday, it's not only the end of our first week back live, but it's also, well, it's not the end of the year because that rolled around last week, but it is the end of a year when it comes to Issues Etc. sound bites. This being our first Friday back after the new year, instead of playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week at the end of this Friday's broadcast, it'll be Issues Etc. soundbite of the year. And it's a little different. You're voting on sound bites that you've already heard over the course of the last year. They're the top vote getters over the last year. But there are also five of them instead of four because we just can't make a decision. So the top five vote getters from Issues Etc. soundbite of the week all through 2012 have been assembled together for you to pick only one as the Issues Etc. soundbite of the year. And that's coming up in the last half hour of Issues Etc. live this Friday, the 4th of January. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll kick it off as a usual Friday with a listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line. Then Terry Matting will join us to do another end-of-the-year roundup thing. We'll talk about the top religion stories from 2012. Terry writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. And then, as I mentioned before, Issues Etc. soundbite of the year. Now, you can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can wait and give us a call or call us anytime. In the meantime, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. But first, it's your email, our response, and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Point of clarification, Mr. Host?
Yes.
Has nothing to do with us being able to make a decision on whether we have four or five sound bites. There was a tie. We don't sit here and just decide what's sound bite of the year. Our listeners, and we tally their votes. So there was a tie. There's a three-way tie.
Haven't we always had five, though?
No. We try to do four. And we only do five unless there's a tie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's nothing. Thought we had five last year.
It has nothing to do with our – we couldn't make a decision because it's the listeners decide what they are. And so we had a three-way tie for three of the candidates.
Okay.
So that's why.
So I stand corrected there. In any event, you get five candidates to choose from, and you can find them at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or you can find them, listen to them, and vote for them at our website, issuesetc.org.
If you remember the first year we did this, we never kept a tally every week. So I would go back and listen to every single segment and count the votes. You talk about inefficiency. So yeah. Now Craig gives me a vote tally every week, and I have this file that says SBOTW 2012 votes or something.
Yeah,
like
there
that.
Are a few things that we've learned, very few things that we've learned in 15 years of doing this show. One of them is to keep track of the votes. They might come in handy later. So,
you know, and we haven't. Did we usually, Craig and I were talking before you got here this morning. Do we usually give something extra away in addition to the LPR bundle package?
I don't remember.
I don't either. I mean, I feel like we should. I mean, it's soundbite of the year as opposed to soundbite of the week.
Yeah, we probably
maybe our listeners should have some suggestions. Just don't. Hopefully, don't cost too much money.
I don't know. I mean, we usually give away the LPR bundle package.
But is that sufficient for soundbite of the year? That's my question.
No, we got up the ante a little bit.
I'm looking for pastoral counsel on this.
All I know is you have a perfectly organized bookshelf back there now. Where you could go back and you could just draw any of the books that we have lying around to give away.
I was thinking, could we give away? No, I don't want to.
No, what is it? What is it?
No,
what do you
I don't
want to
say that. That's a lot.
What do you want to give away?
I was thinking a book of the month, all 12 books of the month, but I don't know. I know we don't have them in stock. We'd have to ask our friends from Concordia Publishing House. Maybe if we were really organized, prepared, we could have asked them to underwrite.
Yeah, this is not
to
like...
To advertise, to be the exclusive advertiser for issues, et cetera, soundbite of the year. Put that on the memo list to do next year, okay? Find advertiser for issues, et cetera, soundbite of the year. I mean, somebody's got to want to advertise on this.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we give away... we have to pick them, though. Let's in addition to the LPR bundle package, the person with the best votes gets, and we'll pick good ones, three of the books of the month from this last year.
Now, will we honestly pick good ones, or will we pick four that we have?
Well, I know what I would say, then I know what you would say, because you're the producer and the general manager, so I know what you're going to say, but we'll pick some good stuff.
Some good stuff.
Yeah.
Four books in addition to
I said
to
three.
Oh, three.
Yeah, I said three books of the month.
Craig, what do you think about that? I mean, you're the business guy. What do you think?
Well, when it comes to me and what talks about my vote for this whole process, see, I think about the cost of this. And since we're getting it from CPH, and they're, and you know, the gracious folks over there, it's not costing us anything. So I'm okay with three books, four books, 12 books. It's all okay with me.
Craig's feeling magnanimous, so...
It's the new and improved married Craig.
Yeah.
Craig? No. No. He'd say bundle package.
Yeah. Bundle package, if you're lucky. Yeah.
Post-marriage Craig? Whatever they want.
Yeah. It's a lot. He has changed.
He has.
He has changed. It's been pretty remarkable.
It is.
What's up first?
Here's an email from Frank in North Carolina. He says, my dear wife and I were on the way to church last Sunday, and because of the fact that it takes 50 minutes for us to get to church, we were listening to the show, which is always downloaded onto my iPod. We love our on-demand listeners, Mr. Frank. The show we were listening to was the episode with Pastor Hull talking about the Magnificat. During the episode, both of you made the statement, you and Pastor Hull, you being Pastor Wilkin, made the statement that Mary sang the Magnificat, but that is not what the text says. It says she said, this does not sit well with my wife and has become a source of frustration in later conversations. The reason for the frustration is that during a trip to visit family members, we visited their church where the pastor, who is very proud of his higher critical views of interpreting scripture that were taught to him during Seminex, made the statement that while the Bible says this or that about Mary, he thought what it really meant was something entirely different no matter what the scripture said. He made his statement as part of the Christmas Eve sermon from the pulpit. All through the service, my wife was nearly in tears because she heard a pastor say that the Bible doesn't really say what it says and by default cannot be trusted as being true. My question is this. How is saying the Mary sang the Magnificat when the gospel accounts say she said any different than saying, I know the text says what it says, but what I think it really means is blank? Thanks for the email and thanks for listening in North Carolina. Frank.
Well, first of all, good for your wife that she takes it that seriously. That she takes not only the obviously terrible preaching that she has to be subjected to occasionally that seriously. It should be almost in tears. Good for her. I'm dead serious. Would that every Christian had the same kind of reaction to preachers who deviously and sometimes openly and without shame try to undermine the Word of God. With that said, that is certainly not what we were attempting to do in the course of our conversation on the Magnificat. I think what we were doing is probably doing a little anachronism. We were talking about Mary's song, and it's been traditionally referred to all those things in the New Testament, first part of Luke, where you have Mary, you have Simeon, you have Zacharias. They're usually referred to songs kind of retroactively. The text says that they spoke them. We don't know how it is they spoke them. They are set apart in the Greek New Testament in poetic form. They have the form of Old Testament Hebrew poetry, and the Psalms were certainly also songs, whether they were spoken or sung. So we're using the term sing or song there very loosely, not in order to undermine what the text actually says. Based upon what the text says, we can say no more, strictly speaking, that they spoke these things. However, the reason we were using that term, she sang this or this was her song, is as the church has recognized them in the form of that Old Testament Hebrew poetry that we usually find in the Psalms, as canticles or songs, maybe we should use the word poetry to be as accurate if we're trying to get our literary genre straight. The church has usually referred to them as songs, and that's kind of become the parlance. So not to undermine what the text says Mary was doing, the verb that they say Mary was performing there, but kind of in the common parlance of the church through its history, to refer to these things as songs. That's essentially what we're doing. Are we saying, and please don't get hung up on it, are we saying that there was that music began to play or that she sang a melody? No, we can't say that. We absolutely cannot say that. We want to stick with the text. But when discussing those canticles, those songs, those poems in a general way, I don't think it's harmful to refer to them as songs, especially since they have become the church's songs. We actually do sing them now. In fact, the church has been singing them for a long, long time. They've seen fit to put them to song. So please don't misunderstand for any offense that we did cause. I apologize, because we are not in any way trying to undermine the text or what it said. And again, good for your wife that she would take it so seriously that whether she hears someone doing it intentionally and maliciously, as she did with that preacher, or she hears someone doing it accidentally or casually, that she would say, look, let's stay with the text. Let's stay with what the scriptures actually say. Let's not add to them. Let's not take away from them. Again, would that every Christian cared that much about how God's word is being handled. We'll be right back. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
Life, a service of word and music, is scheduled for Sunday, January 20th, 3 p.m. at Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The joint choirs of Village Lutheran Ladue and Reformation Lutheran Afton will join with soloists and congregational singing and a sermon by the Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison in Extolling Life. The offering will benefit Lutherans for Life and Vitae Foundation, who will speak at a reception following the service. Join us for Life, a service of word and music.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does a Christian have a different reason for voting than a non-Christian? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Vote for the Other Guy. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details E.D. Wadsworth's journey from evangelical mysticism to the present tense gospel of the Reformation. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
If you call, I will answer. If you I'll pick you up.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's a listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line on this Friday, January the 4th. A little bit later, Terry Mattingly from Scritz Howard News Service will join us. We'll be talking about the top 10. He has one that he think belongs on the list that didn't make it. Top 10 religion stories of 2012, and then issues, etc., soundbite of the year.
Hey, before we get to the next email, we really, thanks to our listeners. They came through again, made budget last year, came through at the end of the year. Full Court Press, they did a great job, and thank you very much.
Is this the fifth year running?
Five full years because we started, you know, basically July 1st of 2008, so in the middle of fiscal year. So it's 4.5 years.
Right, 4.5 years our fiscal year kind of runs January to January. So 4.5 years, every year we've been back. We have been very healthily in the black, entirely thanks to the support of our listeners.
That's right. Only our listeners can cancel us. So thanks again. On behalf of course, Todd, myself, and
I've had people ask me over the last couple of days of speaking at this conference, saying, you know, we heard towards the end of the year, we always hear you talk about, you know, how far you got to go to make your budget, and they appreciate that. They really appreciate us to say, this is what it looks like to us. We look at our books. This is what we see. Let our listeners know. And they all asked, how'd you guys do? And I said, I don't know the exact numbers, but we pushed past it. Our listeners were able to push past it very well.
Yeah, we still don't have the exact figure. We know that we're in the black, but to what level, we don't know. Craig will sometimes get a check, like in March, dated 12/31/12, you know, to get that year-end tax-deductible gift there. But anyway, thank you so much. And again, within the next month or so, we'll have, you know, we're all about financial transparency here. You'll go to our donate page, issuesetc.org. You can look at our budget for 2012, and we'll get the 2013 budget up there as well with the revenue for 2012 on there as well, issuesetc.org, donate page. This comes from Charles in Montana. He says, I'm about halfway through listening to Issues Etc. 24. That was, of course, our live 24-hour broadcast. Yesterday, I listened to the two-hour segment with Pastor Tom Baker. It was very disappointing. At the beginning of the interview, Dr. Baker joked that he was going to make some mistakes so that Todd could catch them. I don't think he meant it. Unfortunately, he did do it. Things started well with discussion of civil versus spiritual righteousness. Where things went off the rails was when Dr. Baker said that God judges our works on the basis of our motivations. Initially, I was willing to walk down that path with Dr. Baker and see where he's going with it. If he said that the baptized Christian life always has perfect motivation because of the new man they are in Christ, I would probably be able to work with his definition. But that's not where Dr. Baker went. A few minutes after he had rather comprehensively laid out his argument for motivation being the key factor, he said if a Christian does something for the wrong reasons, that is not seen as good in the eyes of God. The problem is that every action of a Christian is done for the wrong reasons, old Adam, and for the right reasons, new Adam. If a Christian does something for the wrong reasons, and only for the wrong reasons, then he's not a Christian. Somehow this Christian's baptism has gone out the window, is no longer effective. All of this really just reveals a more basic problem. Dr. Baker's definition of a spiritually good work was never grounded in the cross. He jumped over Jesus' death for us and instead talked motivation, motivation, motivation. The last thing I expected on Issues Etc. 24 was for Christ's death for sinners to become a footnote, but it was. It was very surprising to listen to the host of Law and Gospel confuse Law and Gospel for 2 straight hours. There were a lot of other errors besides these in Dr. Baker's segment. For most of the time I was listening, I was in the car, so I was unable to write them all down. These are the areas that really stuck in my mind. Thanks for the feedback, and thanks for listening in Montana, Charles.
Well, first of all, thanks for listening, but I would encourage you to go back and listen again to those 2 hours, and I would listen with this ear, if you would. I did not hear Tom deny faith as the basis for God's acceptance of good works. This is the clear teaching of Scripture. It's unequivocal that the good works of the Christian are good only by virtue of faith, the free gift of God of faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that pleases God. That is the gift that he gives to the unrepentant, unbelieving heart of faith in Jesus Christ. It's the only thing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Something that I know that Pastor Baker would affirm in the strongest possible terms. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I think it had more, if my recollection is, and you got to remember, it was very late at night for me. My recollection when Tom was talking about God looks at the motivation of the heart, he was talking about faith. He was talking about a complete and utter trust, not in the work, not in the intention, not even in the motivation, but a complete and utter trust in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's how good works are good. Good works are good in God's eyes because and solely for the sake of Christ. They are counted good for Christ's sake. They are considered perfect good works. That's the mind-boggling thing. Perfect good works, not because the motivation is perfect. Something, again, that Pastor Baker made abundantly clear. The motivation is never perfect. Man is both saint and sinner, even the regenerate man. So what is it that makes a good, perfect work? And this is probably why I didn't seek to correct Tom in any way, because I heard him saying this, albeit in the language of motivation. Maybe the word could have been chosen a little better. What is it that, and Tom likes to use the word fruit of the Holy Spirit or fruit of faith. And I'm sure if you go back and listen for those 2 hours, you will hear him utter that phrase many times in the course of our conversation about good works. Again, reinforcing the very scriptural teaching that what makes the Christian's good works good is that they are the fruit of a faith that trusts not itself, not its motivation, not its work, but solely in the works of Christ. So I will take complete responsibility as host for not clarifying that, and I am certain that had I asked for clarification, that all of your doubts and your disturbance there would be completely dispelled by Pastor Baker.
This Joseph writes, I recently heard two interviews of Pastor Jonathan Fisk on Issues, Etc. I would like to tell you, first of all, that he is certainly my favorite guest on the program. The manner in which he presents the proper application of law and gospel is to me a breath of fresh air in the stagnant cloud of evangelical Christianity which hovers over the United States of America. In the program, Man's Failed Attempts to Reach God, Rationalism, and Pragmatism, I was astounded at the clarity of Pastor Fisk's teaching on these subjects. I was also astounded by how much of these things I found in myself as he described them. He mentioned in response to the statement by Pastor Wilkin that preaching the word and administering the sacrament does work, at least in the way God has told us it is supposed to. Pastor Fisk said in part, but work at doing what? Word and sacrament does work. It saves those whom God will save. The Spirit blows where He will, creating faith in those He will, recognizing that those who don't have it created have rejected Him. I wholeheartedly agree with this statement and believe this scriptural teaching. Assuming the truth of this teaching, my question is this. What implications does this have for church mission work in general and the work of so-called community outreach done by the individual congregation specifically? I am afraid that my thinking on this subject has been tainted by American evangelicalism. Is it a correct understanding that the local congregation exists to serve those who believe with word and sacrament ministry only? If this is the case, how do those who are not believers hear the gospel initially to become converted by the power of the Holy Spirit? For example, St. Paul traveled around the Roman Empire teaching in the synagogues and reasoning and preaching in the marketplaces. Most of the people who heard him rejected the gospel, but some believed and were organized into congregations. Today, we do not have marketplaces into which we can go unless you want to count places like Walmart and Target to expose people to the gospel. I'm not talking about going out to do a good work of preaching so that I can earn points in my good column or asking people to make a decision for Christ. I simply want to know what the confessional way of looking at this issue/problem is. It seems like the logical end of this line of thinking is that we, in our local congregations, should be concerned with having word and sacrament ministry in our midst regularly, and the Holy Spirit will draw people to our door as He sees fit to be nourished. I would really appreciate your clarification on this issue. I don't want to sound like a church growth movement proponent. I most certainly am not. But we have discussed in my congregation the idea of starting a Wednesday night worship service specifically for the purpose of creating a forum for people to be exposed to proper law and gospel preaching. This was not intended to be a touchy-feely seeker service designed to trick people into some kind of phony emotional conversion experience. The idea was to conduct a regular weekly service of prayer and preaching, each week focusing on one of the six chief parts of the catechism, but without the celebration of Holy Communion, so that those who were not Christians could hear the word and the Holy Spirit could, if he wished, convert them. This sounds like a good idea to me. It also sounds like Bill Hybels, and that scares me. Your guidance and clarification in this matter would be greatly appreciated. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Joseph.
Okay, let's see. First of all, there is I don't think there is any implication when we teach that God works only through the preached word and the sacraments to convert unbelievers to faith. There is no implication whatsoever there that this means that the church, the local congregation, should do nothing except use the word and sacraments to nurture the faith of those who are already there. That's I don't think it follows. In fact, I think something very different follows, that which creates faith sustains faith. So those who believe need to hear the word and receive the sacraments. Absolutely. Those who do not believe need to hear the word, and they need to receive, in this case, the sacrament. Then they become believers, the sacrament of baptism. This is the model of the church in the book of Acts, that there is that the word and the sacraments are for all. Those who are believers receive the word to sustain faith. Those who are not believers receive it to create faith. And that preaching of the word leads immediately, in the case of adults, and we'll talk about that on the other side of the break, to the sacrament of baptism. I'll talk more after this.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If you'd like an emotional pick-me-up, here's a breath of fresh air. When Nancy Gianni gave birth to Gigi, her daughter with Down syndrome, what little information she received was negative. Nancy decided children like Gigi needed free resources to help families adjust and thrive with the blessings of children with Down syndrome. About a decade ago, the first Gigi's Playhouse was founded. Since then, 12 have opened, with more on the way. They're education centers offering a wide array of free resources like help with speech and language, social development, and motor skills. Gigi's have made a huge impact in many families. If you or someone you know could benefit from more information, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org and discover the joy of Gigi's Playhouse.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
The whole PR campaign that the media tried to push was that Planned Parenthood is apolitical. That's a laugh. That's a total joke.
Religious people determine what violates their consciences, not the federal government. The heart and conscience has room only for God, not for God and the federal government.
the pastor piously says the Holy Spirit has led us to do this, then if you continue to disagree, it's as if you are resisting the Holy Spirit.
I deeply repent, and I'm heartily sorry. Bah! I repent in a half-assed way at best.
Purpose-driven life is ground zero for this wave of people reading themselves into every single biblical text, including the ones about Jesus.
About an hour from now, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. That's just like Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, except we have taken the top vote getters, in this case, five of the top vote getters, for you to consider and to pick among for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. And it's played exactly the same way. 1 hour from now, you can give us a phone call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And we're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line in the meantime. Pertaining to the email that we got before the break, the having to do with the plan to have, and the term there was used, worship service, kind of for unbelievers, and you already see there a bit of the dilemma. Unbelievers cannot worship the true God. It's not that they may not want to. They may want to in kind of that sincere seeking way, but they can't unless they know the true God. Apart from faith, there is no worship. So I suggest what you do is do what the church has always done, and that is, you can have a separate, I guess you could have a separate service of some kind, or preaching venue of some kind, where law and gospel is proclaimed, a text is exposited in law and gospel, with the express target, so to speak, of unbelievers who might come. I mean, that's a possibility. I would not call it a worship service for the reasons I just mentioned there. And you're very limited in what you can do when you gather unbelievers together. You cannot ask them to invoke the name of the true God if they don't believe in the true God. That's just lying. You can't ask them to sing the praises of this true God. And, you know, a lot of the secret churches just do this. They just completely gloss over this and say, this is a service. They don't say unbelievers. You notice they say seekers. They have found a way linguistically of eliminating the problem that exists, the theological problem that exists, that unbelievers cannot worship the true God because they are unbelievers. And so they just ignore that fact and say, we're going to have it for seekers. And then they have them singing praises. They have them praying. They have them doing everything that believers are supposed to be doing, kind of on the assumption that they're not believers yet. That's weird, isn't it? I mean, that's just really strange. Only those who believe in the true God can worship the true God. So the first goal, and you'll see this, as I mentioned before, the biblical model in the book of Acts, the first goal is not to call a worship service. The first goal is not to put together some program that's targeted at unbelievers. The first goal is always to proclaim Christ whenever, wherever the opportunity presents itself. It must happen on Sunday mornings, because the very same thing that creates faith maintains faith. A Christian starved of the preaching of the gospel will cease to be a Christian. If a Christian does not hear the gospel, he will stop being a Christian in short order, because he can't maintain his own faith. He might limp along for a while on preaching that he used to hear, but sooner or later, starved of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will cease to be a Christian. It's the only, do you realize that? It's the only thing keeping you a Christian is the Word of God. That's the only thing keeping you a Christian. So the church has done this, preach Christ, and then it's baptized. And then such a person, well, I guess in the history of the church, such a person is then instructed in the matters of the Christian faith. But that is after the Word of God has done its work to make them Christians in the first place. Then you instruct them. And the difficulty here is that the seeker movement has kind of twisted that around and said, let's first instruct them, and with the goal of somehow eventually making them Christians. And then when they get done with them, they rob them of the gospel entirely. And I'm not joking. They rob them of the gospel. They do not preach the cross of Jesus Christ, except as it may. They have to if they stumble across a Bible passage that requires them to do so. So whatever you do, here's my advice. Operate on the rock solid principle that only the Word of God proclaimed in law and gospel creates and sustains faith. so that unbelievers need to hear it so that they are made Christians, and Christians need to hear that hear it so that they remain Christians. And you know what you're going to end up with? You're going to end up with a church that looks an awful lot like what has prevailed in historic Christianity. And that is where the word and the sacraments are there every Sunday for every person. And where that word moves those people who have heard this gospel in their vocations to repeat that gospel to those who haven't heard it before. It's just going to look a lot like the church.
Well, it's Andy from Kirkwood, and you've been asking, what does issues, et cetera, mean to me? And that has grown over time. It used to be that issues, et cetera, was a place that I could call in my own locality and discuss things with Pastor Wilkin and express my own opinions. But as I have heard over time, people talking on the same program that I had called into, and I'll hear the next caller from Virginia, the next one from Colorado, and then Michigan, and then Texas. And every once in a while, there'll be one come in from France or Japan. And I began to realize, good grief, I'm actually having a discussion with people from all over the world. And it's not just any discussion like you would hear on a secular radio station. It's very much like having a Bible study with people from every place. And to be able to speak with them and them to speak with me. And this sharing of Christ through what you always call the smartest listeners in the radio is just extremely meaningful. And it's really rather kind of humbling to be able to participate in this process. But I think that's one reason why you haven't had a whole lot of trouble gathering the support that you needed at the end of the year. I just love listening. I love, of course, the staff at the radio station, but I sure love just being able to share and hear from people all over the country and all over the world. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That's a great answer to the question. He's answering that question that we are asking all the time for our listeners whenever they have a want to do so. What issues, et cetera, what does this mean? And you can answer it for yourself as well. We're always happy to hear that. We like to use those throughout the course of the year. Our listeners' comments, answering the question, issues, et cetera, what does this mean? And the comment line number, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. For listeners, whenever, and as Andy points out, wherever they might be listening to issues, et cetera.
This comes from Ken in Loveland, Ohio. He says, I listen a lot to Lutheran Public Radio's Sacred Music for the World on iTunes Radio. Is that less costly to you than from listening from the website? I never heard that accessing iTunes stations would incur a cost to the station. If there is still a cost to you, I will become more conscious of shutting it down when leaving my computer. Thanks for the question, and thanks for listening to Lutheran Public Radio, Ken in Ohio.
Okay, that's a very good question. And I'll have to at first plead some ignorance and then make an educated guess. I think it's all the same. I believe it's all the same. Lutheran Public Radio runs through an operation called Live 365. And the cost that we incur there is in direct proportion. Am I right here, Jeff? Direct proportion to the number of hours that whatever number of listeners listen in the course of a day or a week or a month. That's the cost, regardless of how they're accessing it, because Live 365 partners with iTunes Radio to do that, they're still accessing it. So I don't think it makes much difference in terms of the cost that's being incurred.
You are correct.
So this is something that we've been trying to – this is just kind of a little inside baseball. We're dealing with a very good problem with LutheranPublicRadio.org in that it's growing. And the listenership is growing beyond my expectations. Jeff always says, I knew this was going to happen, because he always does know what's going to happen. But it's growing beyond our expectations. With a growing listenership through that venue, that means growing costs. And they're very manageable. I'm not going to start crying about it. They're very manageable, but it simply means that it's a good problem to have. But it's also why we ask you to support LutheranPublicRadio.org and Issues, etc. We ask you to support both of them because in the case of both, as Michael Horton often says, the gospel's free, but in their case, radio time isn't. And any kind of broadcasting incurs some kind of cost there.
Here's what's amazing about Lutheran Public Radio. Live 365, perhaps the largest distributor of internet radio stations in the country. I'm pretty sure they are, but I'm qualifying with perhaps. Over 7,000 radio stations. You know what Lutheran Public Radio is ranked? Sacred Music for the World, LutheranPublicRadio.org, amongst over 7,000 radio stations.
What's that?
76.
Really?
Most listened to station. Or 7,000 stations.
The 76th most
overall
listened to station.
76. And we've been on for a year, and not even a full year, because we just did the 12 days of Christmas last year, went dormant, brought it back Easter Sunday of 2012.
And Jeff pays very close attention to the numbers. He could tell you at any given week how many listener hours there are there. We're watching those things very carefully, not only because of cost, but also because we're interested to see how the thing is growing. And so far, like I said, beyond my expectations. Thanks entirely again to our listeners. We'll be right back. If this all confuses you, so tell me why.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of issues, etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, issues, etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona, St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio, Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington, Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana, Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky, and St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, going through listener email and the Issues, Etc. comment line. Terry Mattingly will join us in hour two. That's about 20 minutes away. We're going to be going through with him the top religion stories of 2012. I cannot think of anybody else I'd rather talk to. We got great guests on all these kind of religion stories. The Get Religion people are awesome. But Terry is, if I want someone to sit down over a cup of coffee and talk about the news that's transpired, religion news that's transpired over the last year, it's going to be Terry Mattingly, hands down. I always come away with some insight from this guy. He's not only a good journalist, he's a thinker. I mean, he actually thinks about the news that he writes about. So I'm looking forward to that conversation with him.
Let's see. Let's do one more technical piece of email. I usually download your program into my MP3 player. May I ask why many of the items in your archive doesn't have the podcast download link? There's no way for me to keep many items I would love to. Any suggestion on how to do this? It comes from Mercedes.
This has been a problem for, what, about the last month and a half or so? I won't go into all the details. It has to do with some transition that we made on the server that carries our audio and on some problems with the platform we run our website off of. And running our website off of this platform is not really a choice that we have at this point. You kind of commit to that. And the little program called a plugin that permits us to, on that platform, that permits us to put the podcasts up on demand and to publish them on iTunes, it does both of those things at the same time, at this point doesn't have the capability, the easy capability of having that right click here download that not a lot of our listeners use, but many of our listeners have only that way of using it at this point. So what we've tried to do is add that link to as many of the past programs as we can, but there's a limit in terms of manpower as to what we can do there. We hope to have this problem solved. This is a problem that must be solved. We must have the ability for people to listen every way they listen. Not every way we want them to listen, not every way that's convenient to us for them to listen, but every way that they find convenient to listen. So we're working on it.
You know, another option, at least the last 300 episodes of Issues, etc., you can listen at iTunes. Go to issuesetc.org, click listen, then On Demand Archives, click the iTunes logo there, icon there.
And that'll cover more than we've been able to retroactively fix through that. It's been an education. I'm not learning much, but it's been an education in how this entire operation works.
This is Bruce in Chehalis, Washington. I'm an elder representative for the worship committee at our church, along with our pastor, organist, and a couple other members of our congregation. As such, we share the responsibility for the selection of hymns. One of my months is January, which I am now beginning to work on, which are soon due for the secretary to have for assorted publication. My question, do you know which hymns you'll be studying in January? After listening to your hymn studies, I find myself hoping that these particular hymns would be included in our service in order that we would need to know a month or so in advance which hymns you will be discussing. Is this something you're willing and able to do, writes Bruce in Washington State?
That's kind of a producer question.
Did anybody hear me chuckling?
Yes. I mean, do you know what we're going to be talking about Monday, Jeff?
Actually, we do.
Oh,
and
really?
That's a first. Yes, yes. Mondays are always really bad. But people, I don't think people always understand. I mean, I think we got that interview with the Illinois Family Institute, you know, right before the start of the show yesterday on the same-sex marriage debate.
We often go into the first we often embark on 2 hours of broadcasting without having 2 hours of broadcasting ready to go. That's live radio.
Yeah,
that's
just as far as the hymn study. The only one I can tell you for January is the one we're studying Monday with Dr. Arthur Just, the Epiphany hymn, "O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright." That's all I know.
And we'll be in the Epiphany area as often as we can get him studied, right?
Yeah, and they can go back to old ones and still use. Like last year, we studied the Epiphany hymn from God the Father, Virgin Born.
Mm-hmm.
You go in there and type in like Epiphany or something in the search engine, Epiphany hymn or something like that, and you could just because it can't be one coming up, they could download it and listen to it that way.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, here's my advice for picking hymns. And I'm a little puzzled as to why the pastor has the lay people picking the hymns. There may be a good reason for that, but I can't think of it right now. Stick with the guidance and the wisdom of the church. And part of that is found if you open up the hymnal, there's a section for Epiphany, the Epiphany season. There you go. There is an appointed hymn of the day that many churches, not just Lutheran churches, often use. And start there. Because it's actually, in most cases, very beautifully designed to go with the gospel reading for that day, depending on what lectionary you're using. So there's a lot of guidance there. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's something I learned very early as a pastor. You come out, you think you have to reinvent the wheel, you think you should reinvent the wheel, and then you realize you don't have to. It is far better, it is far wiser to depend upon the wisdom of people wiser than you, which is, so that's my best advice.
Here's an email we just received, Wednesday. And he says, greeting the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am at what seems to be a crossroads in my life and ministry. For the past 2 years, I have been listening to Issues, etc., and have gradually been becoming convinced of many of the Lutheran doctrines. This has brought me to a very difficult place as I am a pastor of a Baptist church, have been one for several years. Would you please direct me to a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor in my area who might be willing to counsel me?
Do you have the area?
Yeah, I've already corresponded with him.
Okay, good. Yep. That's good to hear. Yep. This is not the first time this has happened. Of course, we always want to have our listeners. I was just having this conversation earlier with someone today. I was over at St. Louis University for a conference, and someone asked me after a presentation, you know, how do you see radio working in the general mission of the church? And I said, well, I don't think it works in the mission of the church. We always talk about issues, et cetera, being kind of the artillery behind the front lines that has the back of those who are on the front lines, who are the pastors and the lay people who are out there in the church every Sunday, every week, living not only according to their call as pastors, but then in their vocations. And our goal is, it has the side effect of kind of augmenting what those churches are doing. But sometimes it doesn't happen in that order. Sometimes it happens first, someone hears issues, et cetera, then they go looking for a congregation. It's not always that they're in a congregation and they find issues, et cetera, and say, wow, these Lutherans actually do believe, teach, and confess the same thing. So here we have a case of someone who has, and it isn't, you're in an awkward spot. I will hand it to you. You know, being a Baptist pastor saying, you know what, I think I might be a Lutheran. You kind of have that coming out problem. You've got an employment problem. I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. And you're saying to yourself, what do I do? Well, I think you're taking a step in the right direction, and that is to seek some good advice. Jeff is always good at that kind of advice, finding a congregation where you can go and say, I think I might be a Lutheran. Can you confirm this for me? Can you hear what I have to say, hear my concerns, you know, recognizing all of the other human concerns that go along with it, and say, you know, I think I might be a Lutheran. You find a good, solid congregation, a good, solid pastor who can listen to you patiently, not try and immediately get you to join the congregation, but to say, let's see if you're headed this direction. And if you are, then you have some very, very hard decisions to make. It's just basic human decisions. And I think you're struggling with one of them now, and that is, you know, I can't be a Baptist pastor and a Lutheran at the same time. Those two teachings, in many ways, are mutually exclusive. So, and I'm not trying to sound harsh in any way. I'm just saying you will have to come to a point where you say, if I am a Lutheran, if this is what I really believe, teach, and confess, then I need to be one. And that, wow, I can hardly imagine that stage in life where you say to yourself, because I've never been through it, but I can't imagine it, where you say to yourself, you know, I think I'm not what I thought I was. And so it might even mean I can't be the Baptist pastor I was before. I certainly keep you in my prayers in that respect, because that's a hard, that involves wife and family and kids and congregation and everything. That is a hard decision to come to. I hope that you would, and that it would be as easy as possible. But I don't think it will be. I'm just trying to be honest with you. I don't think it will be. But you've taken the right first step. You gave him a name. You gave him a congregation.
One so far, and hopefully a couple other.
Go see these pastors. If the first guy doesn't understand what's going on, you go to the next one, you talk to him, and you say, look, just say, I've been listening to this show. Maybe you've heard of it. I think I might be a Lutheran. Talk this through with me.
James writes about the latest Issues, Etc. journal. He says, I was just reading your article, Vote for the Other Guy, since I've been listening to some older podcasts where you mentioned it. I don't think I've ever heard it like that from a Lutheran, and I'm so glad you said it, because I've always kind of thought that way, but was never able to enunciate it nearly as clearly. It's a relief to read in a polarized world. Thanks for listening in Naperville, Illinois, James.
That article that's in the, was it the last Issues, Etc. journal? And you can, if you haven't read it, you can subscribe for free at our website, issuesetc.org. There's a big red button. You click on that, enter your email address, and it will come to you. It's absolutely free, the Issues, Etc. journal. The very last one, well, I was trying to get it out in time for voting, and it barely made it. I may think I got it out on the day of voting. And Vote for the Other Guy, it is the fruit of my own personal realization that I've come to in the course of the last couple of years, that I can't be a Republican. I can't be a Democrat. I can't be a Libertarian. I have to be I just have to simply live and vote as a Christian, as a Lutheran in my vocation. Do I agree with a lot of the things Republicans say? Sure I do. But I cannot define myself politically that way. I party is not the way to for a Christian to define themselves politically. I've come to this realization. It was a hard one. I'm almost 50 years old, raised in a Republican home, raised a Republican. Finally to say, you know what? I can't define myself according to a party. I have to define myself according to my neighbor. I have to vote for my neighbor. I have to vote in his interests, not my party's interests, not anyone's interests except that neighbor who is right there in front of me. Certainly not in my own interests. That would just be, well, selfish. That would be unchristian. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. We'll do the top 10 plus one religion stories of 2012 with Terry Mattingly.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2013. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.